bad guy. So don't treat me bad if I'm feeling sad, alright. Please don't be mad if I don't smile back, alright. If I find my words, don't think I'm upset, alright.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXE, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, Hudson. That was Detention by Melanie Martinez. We're here in front of our studio audience preparing to bring you Our Town, Our Truth. We will kick off our show after the local news and weather.
From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tapton reports in Columbia Green Media that GlidePath, an alternative energy company based in Illinois, showed off plans to put 40 lithium-ion battery storage containers on 2 acres near Route 9W and Route 23 in Catskill. The proposed grid support system, if approved, would generate 20 megawatts of power. The company needs both the planning board and town board approval, and GlidePath has requested a coordinated review. Then the county planning board also has to review the proposal. GlidePath Chief Development Officer Peter Rood explained about the project. He said, and I quote, "The sun isn't always out. The wind isn't always blowing. Battery projects provide these services that renewable projects can't provide as easily," end quote. WGXE has a full recording of the meeting in the audio archives and in the WGXE newsroom. Amelia Teasdale reports for the Columbia paper that on September 16th, the Chatham Village Planning Board approved a general site plan for the new Shaker Museum and Library at 5 Alstallet Street, but it is only the first of several approvals needed. The first site plan approval was necessary so the Shaker Museum could buy the 3-story brick building at the traffic roundabout where Main Streets and River and Alstallet Streets meet. Next, the County Planning Board reviews the site plan and sends it back to Chatham's Planning Board for another vote on September 23rd, and the museum will be back again to the Planning Board to approve design plans for the building. The museum hopes to open Thursday through Monday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Jeff Platsky reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that there are now 400 New York farmers growing about 18,000 acres of hemp. That's up from just 100 state-licensed growers 2 years ago. Dutchess County now has 13 farms growing the plant. Hemp lacks the psychoactive THC, but can be dried and processed for cannabidiols made into popular CBD products. Ken Migliorelli of Migliorelli Farms planted 15 acres of hemp in Tivoli. He said, and I quote, "These seeds were particularly expensive, more than a dollar per seed. I purchased 20,000 seeds, so that's more than $20,000 in cost," end quote. In June, the state legislature passed a bill to regulate the sale of products containing hemp extracts, such as CBD. But Governor Andrew Cuomo hasn't said yet if he will sign it. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. The Albany Times Union reports that some areas of the Hudson Valley felt their first frost September 19th. The National Weather Service says temperatures dropped into the 20s in the northern Ulster County hamlet of Willow. While summer hangs on for a few more days, temperatures are expected to warm and no more frost is in the immediate horizon. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. After some fog and spots clears out this morning, we'll watch the temperatures climb from the low 40s into the upper 70s by 2 p.m. Overnight, we're back down to the mid-50s before bouncing back to 80 degrees by 1 p.m. tomorrow. Another nice weekend is on the way. Sunday, we'll have a high in the mid-80s with no precipitation in the forecast until Monday. Over on the river, high tides will be at 7:18 a.m. and at 7:23 p.m. Low tides will be at 1:37 a.m. and at 1:21 p.m. Water temperature will be 70 degrees. Looking way up, we see the now-confirmed interstellar comet Borisov zipping through our system at 33 kilometers per second. It is our second known visitor. As a reference, objects that orbit our sun have an eccentricity falling between 0 and 1. With an eccentricity of 3.2, Comet Borisov, also known as C2019Q4, will not be coming back and will be too faint to see with the naked eye. However, amateur astronomers are training their equipment on it while it is around for the next 5 or so months. Solar wind is currently a weak and light 329 kilometers per second at 2.9 protons per milliliter. This has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. That was the Clubhouse Radio theme song by Soraya. Today, we're doing Our Town, Our Truth and Back to School and Recovery Month. All views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse parent organization, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. We'll be right back after some brief messages.
Today, millions of people all across America are building a life in recovery from addiction and mental illness.
Helping themselves and helping each other.
Join the Voices for Recovery.
Together, we are stronger.
For confidential information and treatment referral for mental and substance use disorders, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Millones de personas en el país están reconstruyendo sus vidas
y recuperándose de las adicciones y los desórdenes mentales, ayudándose unos a otros.
Para remisión a tratamiento por trastornos mentales y uso de sustancias, llama al 1-800-662-4357.
Patrocinado por el Departamento de Salud y Servicios Humanos de los Estados Unidos.
saw you in the bathroom.
Don't do it.
I saw you in the halls.
Don't do it.
I seen you in the school locker room.
Don't do it.
If you want a vape-free escape, the clubhouse is open Thursday through Saturday, 3 to 9 p.m., ages 12 to 18.
All right, we out.
Deuces.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio. This is DJ Phoebes. What's up, y'all?
What's up? This is DJ Squirtle in the house.
And DJ AJ.
We were just listening to the song Girl in Red by Talia, recommended by Chantalia.
That's actually funny. And I actually call Chantalia Talia, so that's...
Look at that. That was perfect.
Yeah.
So we're doing our third and final week of Back to School and Recovery Month, September, Our Town, Our Truth, where we get to dive into our personal experiences at in Catskill and the great world beyond. What do you think of the song? You know, the first thing we're going to talk about on the radio show today is kind of this relationship between our sense of being enough, being good enough, being the things we're told to be enough, right? And
there's
its relationship to, we're gonna get into a really cool poem about it.
Yeah.
But this song also kind of touches on that theme
a little bit, right?
It
did. Talked a little bit about like drinking enough. Mm-hmm.
Drinking as a way, in this case, for her to kind of get into the headspace where she feels like she can get access to the intimacy she wants with this person in this case. But
it
you know,
like
right?
That.
So, yeah,
really
so I
do.
Think talking about getting real about how there is this relationship sometimes between substances for young people and how you're feeling about your access to what you want to do and be in the world and unpack that a little bit. Yeah.
So, Phoebes, you bought in the, this is really cool story, and I think we should share some of it with you guys.
Yeah, you want to start off with some of that restorative justice stuff?
Yeah.
No? All right.
So, do you want to, like, kick off that conversation?
Yeah, I can bring that story in. Yeah,
thank
you want to do that before your poems? I feel
better.
Yeah, all right, cool. Well, that'll be a good thing to set the stage, and maybe we can keep coming back to that story as this goes on. Because I think the other thing we talked about for this show is wanting to really, like, leave some inspiration.
Right.
For like what can be done,
what needs to be done,
to make it feel like
is there room for change? Of course, but like you know, we'll get there.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Right. So okay, so cool. So this is a story about the public school system in Oakland, California. And Oakland's very different than Catskill, but that doesn't mean we can't learn from their experiences,
sure,
right?
You can learn from anyone's experience,
exactly.
Good or bad.
Yeah, and
everything's a learning experience.
So in Oakland, you know, like schools all over the country. A lot of struggling with how to deal with discipline and like behavior issues, right? And a lot of dependence on expulsions and suspensions and all those old kind of punitive ways of addressing what is behavior issues, right? I mean, Emily, you're taking a college psychology course, right?
I am.
How useful is punishment in changing behavior? Have you talked about that in your class?
It is not really useful because like I feel like if you were like to reward behavior instead of punish it, then like people would want to like continue to do it to continue getting the
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
there was I remember some research about this. I was doing research actually about how probation departments were thinking about things. Interestingly enough,
really?
But the research showed that positive affirmations of doing the right thing are 4 times more effective at changing behavior than punishments for doing the wrong thing. So
right.
Hugely.
Totally.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel
I
that?
I totally agree.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, creating a culture where that. And the other problem, right, that we talked about really in the last topic that we got into with school discipline
right.
stuff is about how, like, what happens to a kid when they get suspended or expelled or put.
The school to prison pipeline.
Or just like further disconnection from school, right? Like does
suspension,
that
suspension, expulsion.
Yeah. So anyway, and especially given like your super strict attendance policy you're grappling with. So restorative justice is a concept that basically says that we can call teachers and students into an experience of really looking at the deeper levels of why behavior exists and actually heal through harm instead of just having a you got to get out the door, you did a thing, that's the policy
right.
by sort of thing.
Oh, they love their policies.
And so in this particular story from this article in Yes Magazine, they're talking about this kid. He's a 14-year-old high school student, and it sets the stage where he's in the hallway cursing at his teacher at the top of his lungs. He's called her the B word twice because she told him to lift his head off the desk and sit up straight.
He was tired.
Then you have school coordinator for restorative justice, which is this new program, right, that they're doing, is running kind of to respond, and so is the principal. And the kid actually takes a swing at the restorative justice mentor, and the principal is like, forget it. Like, he grabs a walkie-talkie. He's like, I'm calling security. He's getting suspended, right? That's the setup, and that's, like, the situation. But then Eric Butler, who's the school coordinator in this story for restorative justice, is like, time out. Give me a minute with this kid. And so he first says, like, hey, can I talk to your mom about what's going on? And the kid, like, really freaked out, right? Yeah. And so he just says, listen, I just want to keep you in school. Like, I just want to show up for you and not hurt you. Can you come talk to me?
Right.
So they go and talk. And then in the talking, they find out more about his story, right? Like, what are some of the things that's going on in his life?
So, like, they walk down and there's, like, a room for this, which would probably be really helpful in other schools, too. And they're talking and come to find out his mother's had a relapse and he's been taking care of his siblings.
Right, for a few, 3 days
for
now,
like
right?
3 days, yeah.
So your point is he's exhausted. So when the teacher told him to take his head up off the desk multiple times and he's exhausted, stressed, and scared, right, that agitation, like he felt so much rage in his body, right, that he
lashed out.
You've ever gotten to that point where you're so frustrated about something or you're so exhausted
it
you
happened,
can't feel anything? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So acknowledging that sometimes I think a lot of times somebody sees a student acting what's seen as really violently and the fear is like, if we don't kick them out, then like we can't, that's all, we have to respond to violence with zero tolerance, right? But if violence is the end result of exhaustion and stress and these other things that like we
factor
don't want to punish people for, but that's what you end up punishing them for.
Yeah. They do have many, many zero tolerance policies.
So anyway, in this case, they didn't have a zero tolerance policy and they actually ended up sitting this kid down and they had a talking peace circle. And so he got to tell. And so they held what's called a healing circle, right? Where everyone who's impacted by the thing that happened gets to sit in a circle, have their turn to be heard from their heart, what it was made out of for them.
Right.
And do some healing out of that. And so when the kid got to share, he acknowledged like he hadn't slept when it happened. He was hungry. He was scared. He felt the teacher was nagging him and he lost it. And then he apologized.
He did apologize and offer to help her out after school.
Right. And then what happened with the teacher? You remember that part of the story? What was going on
like,
with her?
She had previously been assaulted by another student.
And she was scared that was going to happen with the kid.
Yeah, so she was going to quit.
And apparently after that incident with Tommy, she was so worked up that she felt like she might have to quit. And so they ended up doing amends and working together. And she agreed that she'd be more compassionate in the future or think twice before nagging somebody about taking their head off the desk. Right. So she listened and learned too. And then Tommy's mother ended up coming and being present for the conversation to be like, hey, like I'm part of this story too.
Right.
And they all ended up coming to the table and recovering around that, which is like, whoa,
can
really
you
like imagine that kind of like being the way it
Was in our school.
Can
I'd love for it to be that
way. Yeah. And the impact is kind of incredible, but maybe I'll take a pause before we get into the results of that. We've given our listeners a flavor of what a different future could look like.
A taste.
Mm-hmm. Which is really exciting. So, so the other thing that we were going to get into in this segment, right, is...
was the poem.
Mm-hmm. And...
This poem...
Right, we've got like a few minutes. Tell us about the poem. What does this bring up for you in this conversation?
So, it was relevant with me, like, the first couple of lines, because it really talks about popularity. And in my school, this is really how it is. And so it hit home for me, and it might hit home for a few of you listening out there. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Well, what we play of it.
Take a shower. You don't want to smell. 2. Pick out an outfit that will fit in with the latest trends and won't make you the laughingstock of the school more than you already are. 3. Put on some makeup so you can actually show your face in public and be a little bit pretty. You can't even recognize yourself, and your face tingles with an unrelievable itch you can't satisfy, otherwise you will have ruined the hours of meticulous painting you applied to your hideous face. 4. Don't forget to style your hair in elegant curls. You can't let everyone at school see how your hair frizzes up like an electrocuted monkey, naturally. 5. Shove your fat feet into those toe-pinching, blood-blistering Converse that everyone at school is wearing, and you cannot be the odd one out. As you gaze into the bathroom mirror, you see a stranger that somehow stole your reflection and replaced it with a completely different girl. Every part of your outfit is uncomfortable, but even though you spend hours trying to look pretty, you will never be as good as those other girls at school. You are actually holding back a few tears, but you feel like you are holding back a tsunami of emotion. You can't let anyone else know that you feel, otherwise they will never respect you the same way they used to. Or did they ever? Why am I not good enough? Beauty is pain. 6. Get off the bus. 7. Find a group of people you can walk to class with, because heaven knows you can't just walk alone. But you don't even like these people. They cuss and they make dirty jokes a lot, and they laugh and make fun of you. You know you shouldn't hang out with them. But hey, they are the popular kids, and you just want people to like you like they like them. You are in the stocks as people throw judging tomatoes and hating heads of lettuce at your insecure little head. You cannot stand up for yourself because you are alone, trapped, and defenseless. And you cannot stand up for yourself because these popular kids are like the royalty of the school, and apparently what they say and do goes. You take each comment, each judgment, each assumption, each opinion, each strange look, each remark, each criticism, each review, each report, each assessment, and with it, your self-esteem.
So that is like, yeah.
I felt that too much.
You see what I'm talking about, right? Like, it was really... And it's crazy because to just think, like, this poem was written by a 7th grader, guys. So, like, think about what you're teaching the younger generation. Like, we're teaching them to be like this. Like, it's crazy, bro.
Yeah, Olivia Vella is the name of that person who performed that piece, mm-hmm. actually at their school,
yeah.
right, in response
she
to some
sort of
prom.
Did it for an English project.
Which is cool. We're talking about student activism. That's kind of like student activism, to be yeah. brave enough to get up there yeah. and speak yeah. that truth in front of your whole class.
That's crazy. I could never do that.
I mean, we have a big class.
So y'all have a tagline, or your assistant principal has a tagline for your school?
Oh, he's our principal now.
He's a principal?
He's
All
our
right.
principal.
What is the tagline? Can y'all give it to me real dramatic?
Yes. 1, 2, 3. Make it a great day or not.
The choice is yours.
So when I hear that poem and I juxtapose it to that principal's comment, it... Right, like, the choice is yours whether or not to make it a great day. Mm-hmm. And, like, this poem, Olivia's walking through, like, all the choices, right, that she's yeah. making that aren't even really related to being at school and your
nope.
learning.
It's just
to
something.
Get through the day and survive that yep. she's stressing about in 7th grade.
Yeah.
How do y'all navigate that?
You don't. It's just, like, I don't think I've really said this before on here, but, like, the lessons, some of the lessons we learn are from school, but we never learned them in a classroom, you know, if you know what I mean. Like,
like life lessons.
Yeah, like we teach ourselves, like unconsciously, we teach ourselves how to fit in, how to be up to a certain standard. And then by, next thing you know, you're doing what you do normally, and it's not you, but it's what society
wants
accepts.
From you.
It wants from you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that a seventh grader is going through it, just like, it hurts, bro.
Yeah, why am I not good enough? Do you feel like there's room for a culture that is kind of cool in its own right? That is basically saying, I mean, forget that. Like, we're not gonna...
There are some kids who really just don't care. But then again, if you're a part of those kids, there's like a 9 out of 10 chance you're like the school clown, the class clown. They're not, it's not that you're the one being funny, it's that you're like being the clown, like they're making fun of you.
Mm-hmm. So you can embrace your own alternative, I don't care about what's popular sort of attitude, you'll still get made fun of about it.
Yep.
But the point is not caring,
like, they
right?
won't make fun of you to your face, mm-hmm. but they're going to be like, oh my God, that's a different girl, she's different, or like, you see that kid over there? Yeah, he doesn't do what we do. So, like, you know, like, there's things like that. And they won't say it to your face, of course not. They'll be your friend to your face and work with you on projects. But as soon as they're with the rest of their friends, you're just different.
What do the two of you try to do to make that feel different for other kids at school?
If there's, like, a new kid, I always, like, invite them to sit with me and my friends. Just because, like, I know how it feels to be, like, the new kid.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be, like, as genuine with them as possible. Like, I don't want to be, like, oh, like, I'm going to be this way towards you to your face. But then, like, as soon as I talk to my friends, I'm not going to be, like, oh, like.
Two-faced. Oh. Yeah, I'm not trying to do that. Like,
right. Like, I try to be as genuine as possible and, like, be, like, as kind as I can. Mm-hmm. To, like, a person, like, if they're new, I don't know them. So, like, I'm going to, like, try to be, like.
Like, in our school. In our school, if there's a new kid, nobody will know their name. They are the new kid until the next new kid is there.
Mm-hmm. So you're helping watch out for that.
So, like, mm-hmm. I call them by their name, not new kid, and I'm just like...
Yeah. I mean, foster a culture of respect, right? Which is what you would like to live under. So, all right. Well, we are coming up on the half hour mark here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to wind ourselves down for a minute, take a break. Give y'all the news update before we return to Clubhouse Radio.
And here we go. Do you know where the muffins go? They go along to take your honey. Way down how we build our breakfast down and say my love, love, love. La 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 la, muscle to muscle, toe to toe.
Pistol shows, hold her down when soggy clothes and breeze blows. She's morphine, queen of my vaccine, my love, my love, love, love. La 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 la, muscle to muscle and toe to toe. Soggy clothes and breeze blocks. Germaline, disinfect the scene. My love, love, love. Please don't go. I love you so, my lovely.
This is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Parcellas reporting for Columbia Green Media. The City of Hudson and the U.S. Department of Justice are close to a settlement agreement in a case filed by three city residents alleging a lack of accommodations in public spaces required by the American with Disabilities Act. The three complainants took action arguing the city's sidewalks are inaccessible and the entrances to City Hall, Promenade Hill Park, and other locations are also inaccessible. An investigation by the federal government determined the city was out of compliance in several categories. Under the settlement agreement, the city must take remedial action within 30 days, including the appointment of an ADA coordinator responsible for investigating ADA-related complaints. The coordinator must receive training within 90 days. The city must also establish a grievance procedure for processing complaints. Mayor Rick Rector said September 9th, and I quote, "The City of Hudson is working closely with all relevant parties in both reviewing issues and determining steps towards resolving those that we are able to. We have and continue to be engaged in productive meetings with various government representatives from Washington, D.C. regarding ADA compliance." Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the State Department, September 19th, released its jobs report for the 12-month period ending in August. The department reported a 17.1% increase in new jobs in Sullivan County, the highest increase reported statewide. The Ithaca metro area came in second with a 4.4% increase. Columbia County reported a new job rate of 2.8%, followed by Ulster County at 2.6%, Greene County with 1.9% growth, and the Dutchess-Putnam Metropolitan Division with 1.6% increase. The number of private sector jobs in the region grew by just under 12,000 to 824,000. Gains were largest in educational and health services, leisure and hospitality, and natural resources, mining and constructions. Jobs were lost in trade, transportation, and utilities, and professional and business services. Holly Otterbein is reporting for Politico New York. The campaign manager for Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, September 19th, sent a letter to the Democratic National Committee urging it to demand that Governor Andrew M. Cuomo approve legislation to extend New York's deadline for voters to change their party registration. The deadline is less than a month away. Praz Shakir wrote, and I quote, "In 2016, countless voters across the state of New York were disenfranchised by the state's arcane and inexcusable early party affiliation deadline. Countless voters whose first attempt to engage with the Democratic Party saw them turned away," end quote. The state legislature passed a bill this summer to let voters change their party affiliation by February 14, 2020, but Cuomo has not signed it. A Cuomo aide said the governor intends to sign the bill into law. Read the full story at Politico New York. Aaron Croke is reporting for the Poughkeepsie Journal. The 2019 leaf peeping season has begun with the launch of New York's annual fall foliage forecast this week. The first signs of autumn color has started to appear mostly in the Adirondacks in areas like Saranac Lake, Tupper Lake, and Malone, and along the St. Lawrence River in the Thousand Island Seaway region. The fall foliage reports are based on observations of volunteer field observers. The reports are updated weekly on Wednesdays and are available at ilovenewyork.com. According to Cornell University, the most important factor for leaves to change color is the shortening of the day length. But how warm the fall days are, combined with how warm or cool the nights are, will determine vibrancy. The Farmer's Almanac is predicting better colors than last season, arriving right on time. Read the full story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend. Lying in Devil Town.
we're right. No one's gonna catch us now. Dad has bought a new car now. We're fine. No one's gonna catch us now.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXE, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Today, I'm here with...
DJ Phoebs.
And DJ Squirtle.
And it's your girl, DJ AJ, back at it again.
Yeah.
Alright. You were just listening to Devil Town by Cave Town. It's a confusing name, but that's the name. Okay, deal with it.
Yeah, Cave Town. Thanks, Athena, for that hookup. I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, I've heard it many times.
Well, you know, that's what happens to your friends with people and they like music.
That's my best friend. I love her. Okay, I'm distracting myself.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back.
It's Clubhouse Radio.
It is.
It's our town, our truth.
It is.
It's recovery month.
It is.
Heck yes, it is.
It's also back to school month.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Unfortunately. it wasn't back to school month. Trust me. I'd much rather be sleeping, but I can sleep tomorrow till like, no, I won't sleep because I won't sleep tonight. Anyway.
Mood. I don't sleep. I have insomnia.
Insomnia gang.
Yo.
That was a fist bump right there.
It was a fist bump, but y'all can't see it. It was an amazing fist bump.
Yes, it was awesome.
See, DJ Phoebs is a witness.
I'm a witness.
Our minds. Okay.
Great minds think alike. Quote me on it.
Great minds think alike. Quote M.
DJ Squirtle.
All right.
So we're here breaking down ways in which school can be maybe a more supportive environment than we might find it to be.
So I think it would be a really good idea instead of like sending people to detention and expelling them. If like we had one of these resource officers peoples.
Careful with your language. Resource officer is a specific thing, but that's not actually the same as the story.
It's restoring justice.
Restorative justice.
You know what I meant. Like, but
well,
I was getting
a resource officer is the name they use for cops in schools.
Right. Oh.
Okay. That we don't really need. But anyway.
And they can look a lot of different forms and a lot of different ways, but the punchline is that's what they are.
We
right?
have too many of those in our school already.
Yeah, so Greene County just paid for a lot more of those to be in the schools.
Yeah, we got tons of those. Mm-hmm. But anywho,
I meant restorative,
but my English is messed up today. My bad.
Your brain like made an association, right? Which is interesting, actually. Like
yeah,
psychology
I did not
there.
Mean to
You're
do
here
that.
Thinking about the person who could help create justice and healing and harm undoing, right? And
it's
resource
the
officer.
Because a resource they officer. Give you in kindergarten. Right?
They should be able to do that, but the resource officer's first line of training, experience, and understanding is punishment, right? It's about responding to mitigating violence, keeping people safe, that paradigm. A restorative justice officer's orientation is harm transformation, sitting down, talking through conflict, not using...
I meant restorative.
Yeah, I know. It's important to distinguish those things because I think... That the immediate response we have to violence oftentimes is things that actually create more violence for people, more harm, more isolation, more trauma.
No more trauma.
No
please.
More trauma. We got to break the trauma cycle.
I know a song called Trauma.
You do?
Yeah.
Who's it by?
I mean,
too
it's
much
K-pop,
trauma.
So
oh, okay. Yeah.
I doubt they would. Hey, leave me pee.
Who says you can't play K-pop? So anyway, so we had talked about what's called Our Joy, the Restorative Justice Opportunities for Youth in Oakland, a program that is directed by Fania Davis, who's a long-term,
can we call
powerful
her?
Activist. I don't know if I could call her. She's like a really important person doing a lot of good work in the world. I have a friend who trained with her and did work with her.
Maybe you could have them come in then.
Yeah, right. And the scale of restorative justice. So restorative justice, right, is about bringing people together around a circle to share about what they were experiencing, so people can start to empathize and see each other as human beings and come to a place of understanding.
Right.
And we had told the story about this kid in Oakland, right, who'd been like in this kind of violent flare out, and they figured out what was going on. And
all because they had a restorative.
Yeah, exactly. And so the hallmark of restorative justice is intentionally bringing together people with seemingly diametrically opposed viewpoints, particularly people who have harmed people. With people who have been harmed in a carefully prepared face-to-face encounter where everyone listens and speaks with respect and from the heart, no matter their differences. There's a talking piece, which is a powerful equalizer, allowing everyone's voice to be heard and honored, whether it's a police officer, a judge, or a 14-year-old youth. Right. So,
and it's like having a counselor, but one that's not so by the books and is going to tell you to put a Band-Aid on it and move on.
And what's cool now is the culture in Oakland schools is such that students have a problem. They just drop into the restorative justice space and start their own circle. Like, they know how it works. They understand the technology. They feel
that's
empowered.
That's powerful. I mean, we feel pretty powerful here, but that's powerful.
Right?
So, and if that was in our schools, like, I feel like a lot more people, instead of, like, having the breakdowns that they have in school, because I witnessed quite a few today.
I've had quite a few today.
Yeah. People tapped out on Friday.
It was like, today was rough, yesterday was rough. Mm-hmm. So, like, if we had one of those, I feel like the kids that I know, like, some kids could, like, really benefit from that. I mean, some are fine and some are, like, good on their own, but they could still benefit from this.
Yeah, and what they're saying is it helps create actually kind of a sense of belonging in some ways, that
I'd
there's
like
a space.
To belong,
yeah, apparently, according to the Center for Disease Control, which is like a very, you know, federal, like they do data and stuff, they says that a student's sense of belonging to a high school community is the top protective factor against violence and incarceration.
Wow.
Which I was like, huh. Sense of belonging to a high school community.
Well, if we're a community, then you want to stay there. You don't want to be violent against the community because you're a part of it.
Definitely agreed.
Like, unless you're violent towards yourself.
Well, that.
But the circles can help with that.
Right. Also unpack your own stuff you're carrying around. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
So the results of this work are, so when RJoy did this pilot in 2007 in the middle school in Oakland, it completely eliminated violence and expulsions, apparently, and reduced school suspensions by 87%.
We need that in Catskill.
And then it also reduced, let's see, student suspensions decreased 74% after 2 years, and referrals for violence fell 77% after 1 year, and racial disparity in discipline was completely eliminated.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
We need that. Bring it here, please. Call the Tanya Lee.
And higher graduation rates and test scores. So it seems pretty clear that it's working. And in fact, it was so successful that in Oakland, the school board passed a resolution adopting it as a system-wide alternative to zero tolerance discipline.
I want it so bad. Like, I'm really loving this right here.
So that kind of takes us into like the student activism conversation. Y'all want something different in school.
Yes.
How do you make it happen?
You don't make it happen unless you're a big kid.
Okay. What does that mean?
That means, Emily, take it over. Go. DJ Squirtle. My bad. I do it all the time.
Yeah. So, in our school, it kind of works as, like, juniors, seniors, you know, the upperclassmen have more,
power.
More power, more say.
More of a voice.
And, I feel like the principal, the assistant principal, and the school board pay more attention to, like, those upperclassmen and would listen to them better. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, that's the entry point. Like, all right. So juniors and seniors have a little bit more ability to be heard. I mean, a big part of activism is the work of getting, like, your voice heard in the first place.
Like, right.
We can try and they'll take note of us, but they see us as more of a nuisance and us trying to be annoying and just, like, the little kids more than they are, like, listening to what they're saying. They're like, oh, there goes those kids again. And so instead of listening to us, they don't really care. And unless, but then when the seniors say something,
there's a little bit more.
There's a little bit more. Okay, what are you guys talking about? Understanding and stuff like that. So it's just like,
What does activism for the seniors look like then, if you have the ability to do it?
Well, we mostly we try to like advocate for stuff that like would make our school like more enjoyable, more I want to say freeing, like you can feel like comforting,
create a safe space.
Yeah, kind of like that. We last year we advocated for a salad bar.
We have a salad bar.
We got that last year.
It works.
And we also advocated for a lounge for our cafeteria, and that is in the process of happening.
Because our cafeteria literally looks like a prison visitation center.
And our ceiling is falling apart.
Our ceilings are terrible.
Yes, we should.
Like, the whole school is literally, like, they're, like, those panel ceilings, and they're, like, falling apart, and there was, like, a one time where school was, like, closed because the tiles were falling, and they couldn't stop all the leaks. It was a mess.
Could you imagine going to the school counselor and being like, listen, bringing them this article even, being like, restorative justice is a concept that exists. Could we start to practice this on a small scale in Catskill? See if it works.
No, like, I'm scared of them.
Okay.
So bring it to a senior.
Maybe.
Like, if that's the way the system is going to work, bring it to a senior. Maybe they'll be like, huh, this actually works. Let's bring it. Let's make it happen.
Hey,
PJ Squirtle. Yeah, here we go. Passes. We found one.
Y'all didn't see that, but I did pass PJ Squirtle the article.
DJ Squirtle did some surveying yesterday at school and today.
Oh. Yeah.
Getting some information about your fellow students about some of these issues. Yeah. Can I see what happened?
Yeah.
All right.
Check it out.
Because, you know, part of, like, activism oftentimes is, like, talking to other students, getting a sense of what's going on for them.
Right.
Getting the information together, right? Like, putting... building a collective voice that can have some more power than just one individual.
All right.
Like, I interviewed eight people.
These are some kids from our school, and let's see how they responded.
So the first question is, how supportive do you think the school environment is for youth? And it looks like, you know, it's a scale of 1 to 5. 1 is, like, not very supportive, and 5 is very supportive. And about half were neutral, the 3, and then another half were 2, so on the low end. So it's kind of on the low end of the spectrum, like a 2.5 out of 5.
Right.
And then we were asking a little bit about the attendance policy, because that's somewhere where Catskill's kind of getting into the zero tolerance a little bit, right? Getting stricter about it. And it's kind of like a span of issues, like a span of perspectives here. We asked, like, how serious do you think attendance even is? And, like, most people wrote 4, so, like, kind of serious.
Right.
But then asking, how helpful do you think this new policy, which is really strict and about, you know, basically creating a bunch of fear, it seems like, about
not
school.
I'm so scared to miss school, it's not even funny.
It's kind of all over the map, from people saying not very to very effective. So, well, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And then you ask, what's one thing that would make you, that makes you or would make you want to be at school more? So what were some of the things that came out for that?
Like, 3 people said more elective classes, and 2 of them said more job opportunities, and then people said more freedom. Like, someone said, like, you know, like, being able to, like, do things without, like, having, like, an administrator, like, breathing down your neck.
Well, that's great. That happens a lot.
And a few people said that, stuff that makes them, like, want to be at school, that, like right now, like, science classes, gym classes, and their peers.
All right.
So.
Cool. There's some things going positive. That's great.
Those are some great answers, some great surveys, and we're going to thank DJ Phoebes for putting the questions together.
It's a collective effort.
True.
Y'all help think it up and do it.
Yeah.
Making the content happen.
We love good content.
We do. We stand good content. We high-fived.
Yes, we did.
Cool. All right. Well, I know one of the last kind of things that we had talked about for the show, Emily, was the video from the teacher who had spent some time breaking things, kind of talking about what a school culture is not, you know, or what makes a school, and setting up some of that.
Yeah.
You want to get into that still? We also have some stuff. Yeah.
Let's get into that. All right.
So this is featuring, a school administrator who did a TED Talk.
We love TED Talk.
Yeah.
TED Talks make me happy.
And the topic is how to fix a broken school, question mark. And so we're just going to listen to a little bit of this segment by Linda Cleout Wayman.
Out of school. Fast forwarding a decade later to 2012, I was entering my third low-performing school as principal. I was to be Strawberry Mansion's fourth principal in 4 years. It was labeled low-performing and persistently dangerous due to its low test scores and high number of weapons, drugs, assaults, and arrests. Shortly as I approached the door of my new school and attempted to enter and found the door locked with chains, I could hear Ashley's voice in my ears going, "Miss, Miss, this is not a school." The halls were dim and dark from poor lighting. There were tons of piles of broken old furniture and desks in the classrooms. And there were thousands of unused materials and resources. This was not a school. As the year progressed, I noticed that the classrooms were nearly empty. The students were just scared. Scared to sit in rows in fear that something would happen. Scared because they were often teased in the cafeteria for eating free food. They were scared from all the fighting and all the bullying. This was not a school. And then there were the teachers who were incredibly afraid for their own safety. So they lacked low expectations for the students and themselves. And they were totally unaware of their role in the destruction of the school's culture. This was the most troubling of all. You see, Ashley was right. And not just about her school. For far too many schools for kids who live in poverty, their schools are really not schools at all. But this can change. Let me tell you how it's being done at Strawberry Mansion High.
All right, Emily. What inspired
DJ
you?
DJ Squirtle.
Oh, DJ Squirtle.
Every time.
Ah, I'm so sorry.
No, I'm sorry too. I should do better.
No, you
must do better.
You're doing great.
Do better, or we must.
Do their Squirtle.
All right.
I'm so sorry. Is it almost the end of the hour? It's getting punchy.
Uh-oh.
Thanks for picking that video.
That was a terrible Yoda impression.
I thought it was pretty all right. We can do better.
We could. Yeah.
And the rest of that video goes on to talk about like how even from like the depths of that kind of place of not feeling the culture's there, right, that things turned around and things look
got
different,
better.
Right? The story about the restorative justice model in Oakland, things shift. Things can change dramatically when we change the culture. So y'all are culture makers, yeah?
Okay, so I guess the message we want to leave you guys with is make your culture, be yourselves, and do it right, man.
Yeah.
I think the message we want to leave you with is make it a great day or not. The choice is yours.
All right. With that, it comes to the end of our time here at Clubhouse Radio. Thank you so much
Bye-bye.
For listening for our hour. Before we say goodbye, we're going to close you out.
Oh, I forgot not to say goodbye.
With a few things. Thank you for listening. WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
If you are 12 to 18 and want to get involved in programming our radio show, join us for a radio workshop at the Catskill Youth Clubhouse every Thursday and Fridays at 5 p.m.
We're going to finish with a few shout-outs.
Yeah.
Big thank you to Wave Farm and WGXC for making this radio program possible. Juice Brunch and Relish Delights, thank you. The Catskill and Hudson Youth Clubhouses and the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties for supporting this program. I would like to shout out the homecoming game on Saturday. I will be singing the national anthem at 12 p.m.
Yes, DJ Squirtle, get it.
Get it, DJ Squirtle. I want to give a shout out to a couple recovery events happening on September 29th, the Recovery Walk over the Rip Van Winkle Bridge in Catskills at 11:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then that evening, you can hit the Recovery Dance hosted by Twin County Recovery Services at St. John the Baptist Church in Valencia from 4 to 7 p.m. September 29th.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. With that.
Oh, wait. And shout out to everybody that helped us pick music yesterday. It was stressful. All right.
Shout
bye.
Out.
Appreciate you.
Peace out.
You just Squirtle out.
Bye.
Mics, they're expensive. We don't actually drop this. They're expensive. I mean...
Girl, who are you waiting for? You know that you wanna go. Your mouth. When I wish you we survive, baby, I can't lie. Hit my line anytime. Girl, I wanna make your mind. Spend some time. Skirt, pull up in the coupe, beep, beep. Girl, I got you loving on repeat. And I bet you never had it like this. Real good loving, light up your wrist.
Last call, are you coming with me? I got some things you want to see. Tell all your friends that you're busy. They know we got the chemistry. My body feels on me. Let me get the music.
So bad, I'll make